Hey, story seekers, it's Nisha, and you are now listening to Nisha's Open Diary, where the stories are real and the tea is all about me. Welcome back to Nisha's Open Diary. Today, we're going to be talking about whether or not blood is thicker than water. In reality, in terms of consistency and the fact that blood clots and water runs free, but blood is one of the most toxic substances you might come across in your life. It carries illnesses and diseases, but when it comes to family, it carries DNA and genetics, which binds you to the people in your family. Your family is supposed to be your ride or dies, where if you have no one else or anything else in this world, you are supposed to always have your family. So is blood thicker than water? In my opinion, that's a yes and a no, because I got mixed feelings on the matter. It's complicated because there are things that family can do to make you feel like they are more of an enemy or a foe. I'll leave anyone listening to be the judge. You would think you can trust family, right? Well, let me know what you think after this story time. As I have said in previous episodes, I have three brothers, one older and two younger. The oldest one, I don't trust him as far as I can throw him. He is most definitely the black sheep of our family. Nobody trusts him. And by the way, he is in prison currently for murder, serving a 17-year sentence. But even before that, I didn't fuck with him. We don't have a relationship. And I say we ain't really had a relationship probably since we were younger kids. He is nothing like a big brother is supposed to be. And when it comes to him, blood ain't thicker than water. He is not to be trusted. And he is also, you know how like in a lot of black families where, like I said in my previous episode, where there might be an individual in your family who is on drugs or who might have mental health issues. And instead of everybody trying to rally around that person and seek help for this person, if it's mental health situation, nobody ever reached out and tried to, you know, get him into therapy or get him to a psychiatrist. And as far as it might be a crackhead or somebody who's on drugs, nobody ever tried to rally around him and try to get him into a rehab or any kind of assistance for drug abuse or substance abuse. None of that. Instead, it's fun poked at it. Everybody distances themselves from it. Nobody ever tries to find a way to relieve the issue and help the person. Well, that's my oldest brother, and he has both of those issues, substance abuse and mental health issues. And the mental health issues came from the substance abuse, because I don't know if anybody knows this or if you're aware of this, but back in the early 2000s, a lot of guys who smoked weed and would roll up blunts or whatever, they would lace them with embalming fluid and they would call it wet and they would smoke it. And my oldest brother has started doing that to the point to where it made him crazy as hell, where he's having hallucinations. His mind just got messed all the way up. Mind you, he already had issues from our childhood, from being abused by my father, beaten and all that type of stuff. So all of the issues just got compacted and compiled. And again, they never got addressed. And then along with that, it's just him being who he is as a person. So when you add all that stuff up, to me, he's a monster. And I'm not the only one in my family who knows this. Everybody knows this. Everybody is leery of him. Nobody trusts him. He's the type of person that when he come around, my mother, grandmother, our grandmother, my aunt, everybody, they had in their purses. They making sure ain't nothing sitting around that's of value, because it'll be gone. Or he's the type of person that you ain't gonna leave your kids around without a watchful eye. He done did so much stuff within the family, and that's how he became the black sheep of the family. But I'm veering off of topic, so I'm going to get back on to what this story time is going to be about, because I have a lot of stories as to why I feel as though blood isn't really thicker than water, or that I have mixed feelings on it. There are several things that I could speak on, but I'm just going to keep it on this one topic for the moment. So he is nothing like a big brother is supposed to be. He never stepped into the big brother role. And we never had a good relationship, because years ago, he broke that bond. He broke it to a point to where I will never trust him again when it comes to him. I remember being a young teen, somewhere between 12, 13, 14. Again, our father was out of the picture at this point, and he is just not a good person. And I would catch this MF, this no good B, in my room. I would wake up because I would feel somebody on top of me. And I would sit up and look around the room like, I know I just felt somebody on me. Like, what's going on? And then I would look all, I'm sitting up in the bed looking all around the room for somebody. And then I would look down on the side of my bed, because I had a twin size bed, to see his punk ass laying flat on the floor so I couldn't see him. And then I would go off yelling. I mean, I'm saying every cuss word in the book. Yelling, telling him to get out of my room. And after he would leave the room or whatever, I would like be filling my crotch, my underwear and stuff, and my underwear would be soiled and filled with his cum. My own brother. And I don't see how nobody else didn't hear me in there yelling and going off and cussing him out and all this stuff or whatever. My mother never came to me and said nothing about what was all the yelling about, or none of that. None of that. But again, my room was upstairs. The house that we was currently living at the time, my room was upstairs at the top of the stairs. It was another room across. It was a bathroom, and then it was some stairs to go up to the attic. And downstairs, my mother and them's room was downstairs in the back of the house. But still, I would be going off. And you think me cussing him out and confronting him would make him stop doing that to me? No, it did not. And he was the one who broke my virginity and popped my cherry. My first encounter with an STD, yep, you guessed it, from my own brother, from my family, from my blood. Crabs, to be more specific. Blood thicker than water, my ass. I don't trust him. Never have. Haven't seen him in years. And from where I'm sitting, he is where he belongs. In prison, behind bars, where he should have been years ago. He the type of motherfucker you sleep with one eye open around. I don't even want him knowing where I live. We have no relationship. And this ain't even the half of it with him. He is violent. He is unpredictable and unstable. I don't even like him. I would never allow my kids to have a relationship with him. I remember times my mother would be babysitting my kids and I would find out that he was around. I wanted to get my kids the hell away from there. And what always pissed me off is, even though the abuse and all the stuff that we experienced with my father, my mother always coddled him and always tried to make excuses for him and stuff or whatever. And she knows how I feel about him. And she knew I didn't want my kids around him, didn't trust him and none of that stuff or whatever. And over the stuff that he was doing to me, I don't know, what would you call that? Would you call that rape or molestation? That's her son. That's her child. That is not my brother. And my mother knows how I felt. He is a stranger to me and to my kids, and always will be. I don't consider him to be their uncle. That is my mother's son. And we may even have the same bloodline, but I don't consider him family. And you may say, why didn't I tell anybody what he had done to me? I did. I told somebody who I thought I could trust, my big cousin, and all she did was run around telling other family members, making a mockery of what I had told her, like it was funny or untrue, downplaying what I had confided in telling her. And it didn't matter anyway. My mother took no action. She asked me about it, but the way everybody acted made me go into a shell and not want to talk about it, because apparently it wasn't believed. Nobody was alarmed. Nobody seen phase for real. So I just said, nope, nothing happened. He has never felt like a big brother, or really even assumed the appropriate role of a big brother. Okay, if you call him robbing some woman at a bus stop and giving me the designer purse he stole as brothering, okay. We may have the same mother and father, but I don't consider him my family. And in some cases, like this one, blood isn't thicker than water. As you can see, he has done numerous things for me to feel this way. This is only a brief description of the monster he is. And at the time when that stuff was going on, that's when I wish my father was around, because my father would have knew he was doing any of that. He wouldn't even dare do none of that if my father was still in the picture, because my father would have beat the brakes off of him. That's the one time my father should have been beating somebody, should have beat some sense into that lost soul, because that's what he is. He is a lost soul. And don't get me wrong, I don't condone violence. I'm just saying my father should have used all that energy he had to abuse somebody to raise his son up the right way, to be an upstanding citizen instead of a menace to society. All right, story seekers, that does it for this episode. Make sure you tune into my next episode, where I will be discussing how life was after my father. And make sure you follow me on all socials at Nisha's Open Diary and my website at nishasopendiary.podbean.com. And until next time, I will meet you where the pen meets the diary.